supporter of the measure.
Today, we join that historic legacy in Pennsylvania. What we are doing is speaking in the tradition of Pennsylvania abolitionists. We are saying that now is the time to end human trafficking. Now is the time to end slavery.
The number of victims in the U.S. numbers in the hundreds of thousands. Experts say in Pennsylvania, human traffickers take advantage of the interstate highway system to transport their victims. I'm David Payne.
AccuWeather says we could see a thunderstorm later today into the evening hours. A low overnight 69, very warm and humid tomorrow. Periods of clouds and sun, but also some strong thunderstorms in the afternoon that could bring downpours, hail, and wind, and a high tomorrow 88. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's back to the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, this is Monday. Every Monday, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have been serving this valley for decades, and I mean serving. Your insurance needs and your life so important to them. They want to make sure you have the right plans that fit your life across the board. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Bob Buehner's in the house.
Hello, Steve. Glad to be here on this beautiful Monday. A little hot in the valley, but still it's just a great day.
90 degrees?
Yeah, little humid, maybe some thunderstorms coming across. I am very pleased to say that the Pittsburgh Pirates had a 10-game homestand, won 8 of the 10, had some young pitchers look real sharp, McCutcheon looking like an all-star. So I had a very happy 10 days or so of just watching great baseball from Pirate Land.
Well, let me just very quickly on the Pirates. I've been very honest about the Pirates the last few years. When I didn't think they had it, even though they had a good start, I cautioned everybody they didn't have it. Last year, from the get-go, I was all in and said, look, they'll make the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, on this particular day, I think the Pirates will make the playoffs again.
I agree. I think if you could wipe April off the map, they have really played great baseball, and from about June the 1st, I think they've had the best record in the National League. And the pitching has really come on, which was a big question mark, I think, losing A.J. to going over with the Phillies and some guys injured. I think everyone knew McCutcheon could play, but Polanco came out of he didn't come out of nowhere. Everybody who's been following the farm teams knew he was there. The question was, could he hit big league pitching? And the answer has been answered. He certainly can.
Right. So far, yes. So there's going to be a point. There's going to be a point. And this is what, you know, you want to know what baseball is all about and really what sports is all about. Once you come out and you're on your game, they then get a book on you. I don't care what the sport is, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a hitter.
Basketball.
And then they adjust to your game and to you. The ones that have staying power are the ones that have the ability to adjust back. So we will find out about Polanco when he hits that moment where the league has a book on him and they've adjusted to him and how well he adjusts back. He adjusts back, he's going to have one heck of a career because he, at least in terms of pure natural talent, he is that.
He is, and you throw in Marte and McCutcheon in that outfield, and you think, holy cow, that could be something for a long time. And of course,
they could be the best outfield in baseball for the next 5 to 6 years.
Absolutely, and they've got a strong catcher in Martin. They've got some Walker at second base. They're strong up the middle. The pitching was the question mark. They traded their closer, from last year, Grilly, and they haven't skipped a beat out in the bullpen either. So strong bullpen, good starting pitch. They've got all the basics.
Well, you mentioned bullpen. Tony Watson, who made the All-Star team. I broadcast Tony Watson's first professional game, and he went 5 2/3 no-hit innings at Williamsport. That's how he started his professional career out of the University of Nebraska. And I thought, this guy's interesting. Well, he's better than interesting. Right now, my personal opinion, he is the best left-handed setup guy in baseball, period. Well, Not just in the National League. I mean, period.
He's got an ERA of about 0.96 right now, which I think is the best in baseball, certainly for a left-hander, in terms of coming from the bullpen before the closer closes it out for a team. So, yeah, he's amazing. And to have him there made Grilly expendable when he ran into some difficulties.
No question. Kevin, anything you want to add? Talk about your team?
Well, let's see. They just got swept by the Pirates. I think that's the eighth time they've been swept this year. Very happy to help those Pirates fans who were looking for their first sweep of the season, and more than happy to oblige with the Phillies.
I think the big question that everybody is wondering, Kevin and Steve, about the Phillies is,
when is Ruben Amaro getting fired?
Well, that's the second best question. But all the commentators are talking and announcers are talking about a fire sale of sorts, that the team you saw in Pittsburgh yesterday, the team you saw at Citizens Bank Park last week, is not the team that's going to be there at the end of July.
I just don't see who they're going to sell.
That's the big question. Who?
Oh, I do. Jonathan Papelbon, absolutely.
That's
the
only one I can see.
Marlon Byrd.
Marlon Byrd is absolutely another one. Marlon Byrd is a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He'll go too. There's no doubt in my mind those two guys are two guys that are going to be gone.
The big question I have for the Phillies is, what will they do with a Chase Utley, a Ryan Howard? Those two guys, are they on the block as well?
Oh, I would think they're on the block. The problem is, do you have the cash to get them? This is all about money now. The contracts, how is it structured? Let's take, for example, there's nobody really wants to take Howard's contract unless you're really in a bind. And most teams that you look at have a power-hitting first baseman. Okay. Or in Utley's case, how much money would you ask the Phillies to absorb in the trade?
Mm-hmm. I just think there's something wrong with an organization that would put a Chase Utley on the block, given his incredible service to the Phillies over a long time.
Well, it's not a question of putting him on the block. I think you sit there, and right now you have nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? You have nothing. Now you have to sit there and you have to make an evaluation. Hey, at 35 years of age, will Chase Utley be part of the rebuilding of the Philadelphia Phillies? Or is he a part of the rebuilding of the Philadelphia Phillies because we got four prospects for him in a draft deadline deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the question is, and I would think even at 35, if you're a pennant contender, you'd want to take a hard look at Chase Utley. I think you would just think he could be the guy that comes into the clubhouse and puts you over the top. He's got experience. He's consistent. He's a clutch hitter, clutch defense. So if you're on the edge and you need somebody to make that last step up, like the Pirates last year acquired Marlon Byrd help them, and he delivered for them, and they just couldn't re-sign him.
But see, if he's going to the Dodgers, I can see him saying, okay, I'll make that deal. I just don't know if he'd go anywhere else but the West Coast.
Meaning Utley?
Utley, yeah.
Okay. I could go to the West Coast. I could go for the Dodgers myself. I don't mind.
And Marlon Byrd, okay, that's
Yankees,
a guy.
For example?
That's one I didn't think of.
Wash Robinson Cano to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Still, the bottom line is there's got to be a point for every player where the goal is to win.
Yeah.
Isn't that the goal? I mean, you're getting paid a lot of money anyway.
Well, you're 35. You're looking at who's on the team. You're saying to yourself, we're not going to be in the playoffs for a good 3 to 4 years at best, because we're really going to have to build up from the bottom to the top. So maybe a Yankees, maybe a Dodgers thing, wear that jersey, play in a few World Series, exit your career with maybe a ring on your finger. Yeah, that's got to be inviting to a player like Utley, because he does like to win.
I mean, well, they all do. If you're a real pro, you want to win. But D. Gordon, for example, made the All-Star team. So the Dodgers want him?
And I'd say that would be a no.
I mean, I don't know. Unless they want to change the position where now it's a power position for them. Utley is a power-hitting second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
He could also go to the American League where he could DH once in a while.
See, now that's a possibility, like going to maybe the Angels out on the West Coast as a DH. I don't know if they need one, but I'm just saying, I, you know, geographically I could see that.
Texas, maybe?
Now, Texas is out of it.
The Yankees, by the way, do have an interest in A.J. Burnett. You may have mentioned that
is
earlier,
that right?
Steve. But they have expressed some interest in him.
He was
wow.
He was hooted out of that place and ended up in Pittsburgh several years ago.
Well, but here's the problem. Every time I hear that they have interest, then they don't have interest.
Yeah.
So my guess is this is the swing around right around All-Star break time where somebody just throws out a rumor just to throw out a rumor.
And
I'm not overly convinced that they're into that.
Isn't he about a $12 million guy as well?
More than that.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
16, but of course some of it's already been paid.
Right.
The stories that I read, Steve, there was one that said
Yankees?
They have interest but not strong interest.
The Yankees?
They have interest
they
but not
them?
Strong interest.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the part of the show Kevin loves.
The rumor.
Like, it's like rumor, innuendo.
All that good stuff.
Facts.
Every time I hear where they're interested, then they're not. Then they're interested, then they're not. This is maybe the Yankees throwing out names just to throw out a name, or maybe the Phillies are throwing out the Yankees' name to throw out the name.
Well, he's
or the agent is.
Yeah.
Or the agent. Yeah, there you go.
Although
where do you think most of these rumors come from?
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
Yeah. Well, his agent got him $16 million with the Phils, and I think he was making $12 million for 2 years with the Pirates. So he's rather content, I would imagine, at least financially. So it's just a question.
Pirates did a classy thing yesterday with the nice little A.J. Burnett tribute before he went out there.
Absolutely. They really credit him in the locker room with bringing a winning perspective along with Russell Martin from the Yankees that the Pirates really hadn't mm-hmm. had. And he mentored a whole host of young pitchers. And you could see that yesterday in the game. His one prodigy was, they called it Batman and Robin. Robin was on the mound, and when he got up to the batter's box, laid down a beautiful sacrifice bunt, and I think he just sort of winked at Burnett from first base, like, yeah, I gotcha.
I think I saw that in Field of Dreams. The next pitch buzzed him.
Yeah, exactly. The next one was going to be high heat.
Yeah. So, Field of Dreams. I just want to get up there. I want to wink at him.
Yeah.
Make him wonder what I'm thinking. He just winked at me. The next pitch was right at his chin.
Yep. I was hoping if we get the computer problems solved here on the mountain, I'd love to hear if Kevin could dig it up, the Pride of the Yankees speech.
Well, the Pride of the Yankees speech with Lou Gehrig, which was 75 years ago, as I pointed out earlier, in Pride of the Yankees, the movie, a movie will make things a little more, because of time, they'll make it a little more convenient.
Sure.
And they end the movie with him saying, I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth. I consider myself to be the luckiest man on the face of the earth. It was the second line of the speech.
Yes.
All right. There was a lot more after that where he talked about, that's where he talked about Miller Huggins and Joe McCarthy, about a murderer's row, about the Bronx Bombers, about the fans, about the media. That all came after he said that.
Yes.
He was not going to speak. He didn't want to speak. He was not going to speak. He had to be pushed and encouraged to go up and say something. He had lived all that. You want to talk about, it's one of the great speeches that we've heard, but what makes it even better is it was a speech that was absolute from the heart. Okay? No teleprompter, no fake emotion put in for drama or anything like that. The guy just got up there and just talked because he was not going to talk.
Yeah, no public relations publicist was sitting there scratching out notes and handing them to him before he went out. That was all, as you said, Steve, so properly, that it was really from the heart. And I've read accounts from sports writers going back of that day, and it was one of the most touching days, obviously, in sporting history.
It was between games of a doubleheader.
Yes.
Okay, it was between games of a doubleheader with the Washington Senators, who are now the Minnesota Twins. And he was not going to say anything. And they finally pushed and encouraged him to do it, so he did it. Now, isn't it amazing that in all the, quote, handling that we have today, Lou Gehrig ad-libbed, I feel like consider myself to be the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Okay? Okay? Ronald Reagan was told emphatically, do not say Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall. His handlers told him, don't do it. He says, the heck with you.
Yep.
I'll do it anyway.
That's exactly right. It's not amazing, but if you have a person of great character and depth in their personality, yeah, like a Lou Gehrig, those things seem to just flow because they're in his heart. And as I understand it, I was reading up on this, there were very few other recorded interviews of Lou Gehrig anywhere to be found in the annals of baseball, because in those days they just didn't interview. They didn't have pregame and postgame shows, and there wasn't a lot of when the game was over, they left home. Went home.
But in the 1930s and in the 20s and 30s, in the infancy of radio, you didn't do interviews. Shows were all done in the studio. There's no phone to bring them in.
Right.
The first commercial ever was a 10-minute commercial, I think, for apartments. It was 10 minutes. Right? And where the person bought the time, came in, and in the studio talked about. That was the first commercial ever. You could not do anything other than either at the ballpark or in the studio.
And they were in the ballpark, of course, the players would have had to have walked up flights of steps to get up to where the broadcast booth
was.
And they were down in the locker room, and when the game was over, they went home or they went back to the hotel. And in, you know, as you know, Steve, not in your career, but in the old days, Ronald Reagan was reading the telegraph reports with sound effects in a studio. I think his first station was somewhere in Iowa.
It ends up being WHO in Des Moines, which is a 50,000-watt boomer today. Mickey Bergstein is an example. When Penn State made the Final Four in Kansas City, right?
Yes.
The games leading up to the Final Four, I believe he did it off the ticker tape.
And what year was that, 52 or something? When Penn State was in the NCAA's?
54.
Okay.
1954.
Yeah, and that surprises no one who lived through that, because they didn't have a lot of live events in the day, but the ticker tape was the way to go. So, yeah, not a lot. So that's an amazing thing to have that tape around of Lou Gehrig.
Yeah. They're able to record that. Keith Olbermann did a brilliant, brilliant show on Thursday night about the Gehrig speech. Brilliant. Keith Olbermann is, we all know about the twists and turns of his career. He is still a brilliant, he is a brilliant talent. And he did something on the Gehrig speech where his ability to incorporate history, where they had most of the Gehrig speech, but there are a couple parts that were missing, and Keith filled in the missing parts that either were dropped out or didn't have, whatever. The segment was just, to me, rich, and it was one of the better and I was listening to it, and then finally when I got home, I watched it over again when I got home that night.
Yeah, Olbermann, when he's not talking about politics and sticking to the sports, and he is a great writer of sports, I could see him taking that, because he does have a creative bent to his skills and abilities to really do something with a Lou Gehrig. But 75 years ago, wow.
Yeah. See, that 75 years, see, you lose that track after a while where when we were kids, Bob, we would talk in the 60s and 70s, oh, Gehrig and Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if I'm sitting there as a kid, say, in 1967, you know, you're talking about me being only 28 years removed, so it's like, you know, let's go 28 years removed from now. 28 years removed from now would be 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So just to give you an idea, like, people can talk easily about 1986 and Penn State's national championship football team and so on and so forth, okay? All right, I got to take a break,
yes.
Okay? We'll take one. We'll come back with more today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take care of all your insurance needs with the personal care that you deserve. Steve Jones, Bob Buehner, Kevin Herr on this Monday. Soccer, obviously, has been the talk of the nation now for the past month. The United States men's soccer team certainly captured the imagination of a lot of people. The television ratings have been very good. The time frame of the games has been exactly what they hoped they would be. 90 minutes. ESPN has done a brilliant job with it. Ian Dark has been outstanding on it as the play-by-play voice of it. His ability to turn a phrase and just be really, you know, to give the soccer fan a feel that they've got a real soccer guy announcing their matchups. That's been tremendous.
And, you know, it's not somebody with a thick British accent that you can't understand using terms that you don't comprehend. I think he's really well-suited to the American audience. That makes
a
big
great
difference.
Sport. Right, and it's a great sport. There's a reason why they call it the beautiful game. You can see it. You know, I think it's... It certainly has appeal across the spectrum. I think it's causing other entities to think about what they're doing with television. I saw something the other day where Johnny Miller was giving four suggestions that golf needs to take to change the game. Okay. I'm seeing suggestions that I've been reading about how Major League Baseball may need to change how they approach their national television contract. The old Saturday game of the week, one of the recommendations I read was to take it off the board, get rid of it. Now let MLB Network take it. with Bob Costas and Jim Cott doing it, do something with Thursdays to give it an exclusive window maybe on Fox, because Thursday's usually getaway day in the major leagues heading into the weekend. You know, Sunday night baseball ratings, by the way, are very, very good on ESPN because they have the national game, absolutely exclusive, no local broadcast except for their broadcast. One thing should be pointed out about baseball is that local and regional broadcasts are doing really, really well. Strong ratings across the board. I don't care whether the Indians, the Pirates on Root Sports, Colorado Rockies, the Dodgers, Phillies, Red Sox, Yankees, their ratings are actually very strong on a regional basis. The problem is it's not translating to national ratings right now.
Well, see, if I were ESPN or Fox or whoever, or Major League Baseball Network for that matter, and wanted to do a game of the week Thursday night or whatever, I would want exclusivity, because I'll tell you what, if you have an option being your hometown announcers that you watch all the time, or listen to all the time, or the national broadcast, odds are you're going to take the hometown announcers.
Of course you are.
Absolutely,
every time.
Yeah. Yep.
The number of people that come up to me that are frustrated that Jack and I are not synced to TV
because of the HD delay on television.
Well, exactly. But you know, that frustrates them because they want to hear. You know, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with me, but it has to do with hearing your local announcer announce the game that understands the ins and outs of the program you love, and really you don't really give a darn about Ohio State except Miller just gained 5 yards.
I think that's, as you know, Steve, I sit there with the headset on listening to you and Jack, not just for the replays analysis, but I'd rather hear, because you're going to talk about the things I want to know about the team I'm sitting in the stands watching. And it's not going to be Northwestern I'm going to be worried about. I'm going to be worried about the team I drove to see play.
And that's not saying the guys on the national broadcast do a bad job.
No.
They don't, you know.
Well, no, but what they have to do, though, is that they have to sit there and they have to spend half the time talking about the other team. Okay? You're a Penn State fan. Okay, other than beating the pulp out of them, you don't really care much about the other team.
That's probably true.
I don't even
know.
Right, no.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, do I need the personal story of, I don't know, pick them.
The left tackle from Nebraska.
Right, DeAndre Wilson, the tailback for Ohio State.
Nah.
I don't really care. I just want to know if the dude fumbles.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't need to know where he's born. I don't need to know what his mother thought of him growing up, but I want to know some things about the guys from Penn State that I came to see play. And I'm sure the converse is absolutely true in Ohio State at Columbus. So
right, they want to hear, you know, Ohio State fans want to hear Paul Keels and Jim Lachey, who are really, really good. They'd rather hear, obviously, at Michigan State, George Blaha and Jimmy Miller do the game. All right. I mean, that's because it's your team. These are the guys that are around them. I mean, guess what? I'm at practice every single day. So if I'm at practice every single day, I can explain to you why X is playing and Y isn't.
Steve, has there ever been an attempt to marry up the radio commentary with the television?
Well, it used to be that way.
That's
but
what
then
I thought.
After then they deliberately did a little bit of delay because they were worried about sounds on the sidelines or in the stands or whatever. I mean, even Little League's on a delay now slightly
yes.
because of what happened in the Staten Island dugout that one day.
Yes.
Oops.
And, well, yeah, the managers, the kid said something he should have. The manager then did something he shouldn't have. And it was, okay, long story short, it wasn't good.
No, and the world heard it.
Okay. Now you have HD. And HD takes with it processing. And that's where it's a problem. And Kevin's absolutely right. You're going to want to watch your local broadcast every time. You know, when Harry was alive with Richie Ashburn, who would you rather watch? Would you rather watch, with all due respect, two outstanding announcers in, for example, John Miller and Joe Morgan? Or would you rather listen to Harry Callis and Richie Ashburn do it?
When the Phillies were at bat, and I've done this, so I speak from experience. When the Phillies were at bat, I'd flip over to Harry, and then Miller and Morgan when the opposing team was up.
I'm just saying, but you know, I'm
but
just
no,
about
that's
if
it.
You,
yeah.
If you were given a choice as right. to what you wanted to listen to, you know what? You know, if you're the pirate, if you're a Pirate fan, there's probably a point. As a Pirate fan, at least at some point, where you'd like to find out what the national guys think of your team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
That's fair.
Right? What do the national guys think of your team? Then, after a couple times of that, you probably would prefer Greg Brown, Bob Walk, Tim Neverett,
yeah.
Steve Blass, you know, because that's they're your guys. I think that it's interesting for Penn State fans, for example, if Kirk Herbstreit's doing the game. They're really interested in what Kirk Herbstreit thinks about Penn State. He is the signature voice of college football and ESPN. So does Kirk Herbstreit think that Penn State's in the same category as, and then pick a series of teams?
Yep.
Okay? All right. Fans are interested in that. I think once you get past the number one crew, I don't think people are as interested, with all due respect to a fine announcer, they're not as interested in the perspective of Rod Gilmore. Who, by the way, is very, very good, and would love to have him on the show. But I'm saying that Rod Gilmore. But I'm saying though, I'm talking about how the fans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Rod Gilmore is really good. Would you rather, as a Penn State fan, listen to the perspective of Rod Gilmore or Jack Ham? You're going to want to listen to Jack Ham. I mean, because he's your guy.
The only person on that does a national broadcast that I think would appeal to Penn State fans would be a guy who just happens to be called Todd Blackledge. And yet yeah. I've heard him do a Penn State, and he's very, what's the word I want to say? Very neutral, very fair.
Objective.
Very objective. Sorry, objective. Todd, I don't want that. I want come on. But right. I understand that. But that would be one person, to Herbstreit another.
See, that's where when you look at baseball, baseball's different than everybody else. Football, you are used to every week having – the national game. There is no local television of football. The only local television you have of football is in the preseason. And a lot of people don't like watching the local perspective on the preseason. It's actually the other way around. Like, okay, when are we going to get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman?
You're right.
When are we going to get them? I mean, seriously. Hockey, yeah, you watch your local guys, but if Doc Emmerich's doing your game, you're going to listen to it. In the NBA, you've got your local guys, but if Mike Breen or Mike Tirico are doing the game, the NBA guys are really good. You're gonna want to tune into it. College football, unless it is Herbstreit, and I think he's gonna be teamed with Chris Fowler this year. There really is a trickle down where it happens right away, where you're off the cliff and you want to hear your local guys. I think
you're right. I think it just seems with the technology that's available that there should be that ability to marry the radio broadcasting with the high D so you could have your choice.
But, Bob, I think the problem here, and Steve...
They don't want that.
Well, Steve,
they don't want that.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, though. I think one of the problems is, as far as the television side is looking at it, they want a different broadcast from what you're doing on radio. They don't want you to call every little movement out on the field. And I think that's why they've gotten away from that idea.
Well, here's what I'm saying is that...
Well, the picture tells the story.
Yeah,
you know, it does.
When I do television,
I do a different broadcast than I do radio.
Yeah, it's a much less descriptive broadcast.
Oh, absolutely. Let the pictures do the talking is really the byword. But you would think there'd be a way that I, sitting at home in my my den, my cave, my man cave, that I could be able to pick high-definition TV, Penn State playing at Nebraska, and also then adjusting on the TV set to get the broadcast of Steve Jones, Jack Ham. I mean, what I'm saying
not in Spanish, but
not
in English,
yeah,
right?
Well,
no, I know what you mean.
But being able to do it on the television set
right.
where you can marry up those two things where you don't have to have the radio headset on and turn down the volume, which is what a lot of people do now all across the country. But you just think with the technology we have, that that would be the wave of the future. You know, pick your broadcasts, pick your announcers.
Telemundo loves us. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Suddenly, I'm watching the race yesterday, and there was this guy moon dancing at the start-finish line, and I said, my goodness, that's Kevin.
That was not a moon dance. It might have looked like it, but that's not what it was supposed to be.
Did you trip?
Actually, do you remember the restart where they went 4 and 5 wide, the only restart of the race? That actually happened right smack in front of me. I have a great picture of it. I think I even posted it on Twitter, so if you don't follow me, do so at Kevin Hearn. You can see the... You can see that 4 wide restart.
You can be rest assured, Bob and I don't follow you.
All right, you don't follow me on Twitter, off Twitter, anywhere.
Twitter, tweeter, or whatever. We don't.
By the way, Jason did send me a Facebook message that I should never doubt you when it comes to sports, because you are the sports almanac that was actually in Back to the Future 2. You actually wrote that almanac, so I agree
compliment.
With that.
Oh, I appreciate that, Jason. Thank you. That's very kind of you. There's a lot of extremely useless knowledge up here.
I'm telling you, I want to take... When Dan Patrick does Sports Jeopardy, I want you on that show. That would be entertaining.
It would be.
Okay.
That's today's Facebook question. Should Steve Jones be on Sports Jeopardy with Dan Patrick as a contestant?
Well, the question...
I actually had people ask me, as they were going through the pipeline to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, about being a lifeline for them.
Oh, I would easily have you as a lifeline.
I said, and the guy, three people asked me, and two of them said it wasn't just for sports. I said, okay, fine.
That's great.
No, you definitely would be one of the lifelines.
Well,
no question.
All we got to do now is get Kevin on the show.
Hey, just get me on the show. That's all I want.
There's certain questions you're going to have to answer yourself, though.
Yeah, the first like 3 or 4, Kevin.
I have that game on my computer. I won the $1 million on it.
I think once Kevin gets above $100, I think it's going to be a tight one.
You won the $1 million.
I won the million on the computer game. Yes, I did.
And why are you still working with us?
Because I just love hanging out with you guys so much.
Something tells me that somebody didn't pay out.
Listen, I kept opening the disk drive, but no money kept coming out of it.
Now, Steve, here's a question for you. Kevin asked you Sports Jeopardy. Would you ever have tried out for the regular Jeopardy? Is that something that would interest you?
Well, I'm not interested in trying out for any of this stuff.
Okay,
I have no interest at all in any of this stuff, but... I mean, it just turns out I have a lot of useless knowledge.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I've been told that many a time.
See, mine was The Price is Right.
Oh, okay.
I always wanted to be a contestant on The Price is Right.
You wanted to meet the models on The Price is Right.
When you get up on stage with some of those. And here's another showcase.
There's a lot of that I watched this summer.
But think of the life for Drew Carey. How many of those do they tape in a day?
Four, I thought it was.
At least four, if not five.
Okay. So in a week, you tape a month and a little more in a month.
Yeah. And then go back to Cleveland.
Then you're done. You're out there lowering your handicap to under 10. It's all good. That's a great deal. And all you got to do is like guess as to how much creamettes are.
One summer vacation, I won 18 cars. Didn't get a single one of them in the driveway.
Mm.
You know, there's a great line. The Brooklyn Cyclones had Seinfeld night.
Right.
All right. There's a great line in Seinfeld that absolutely applies to you.
Okay. Can't wait.
Your life is a fantasy.
Yeah. But hey, this is no joke. I watched so much of it one summer that I got so good at it, I could tell you the pricing game and be right 9 times out of 10, because my mother and I did it just to see. I actually could tell you the pricing game with the prize that they showed, and I was right 9 times out of 10.
Way too much time on your hands.
It was a very boring summer growing up.
Wow, that's one of the saddest. That's actually one of the five saddest stories I've ever heard.
I'm reduced to tears.
I mean, I just find that to be so pathetic.
Well, yeah. But some of them were easy. I mean, if Bob Barker would come out and you'd see the orange or the gold spots on the floor, you knew that the first game was going to be Golden Road. I mean, some of it was easy.
Way too much time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this all started because I knew Mario Andretti drove number two. All right. I feel awful about bringing it up.
Yeah. Well, we ought to at least close the show as we wind down on a Monday afternoon with where we started. Talked about.
Well, we might as well talk about another number two,
nope.
And that is Derek Jeter, all-star extraordinaire, and yet Captain Grumpy over there, he shouldn't be in the game. Yeah. His stats aren't good enough. It's Derek Jeter.
Fine, throw him in there for the first inning, get him out of there, and then somebody else that's having an all-star year get in there. It's the all-star game. It's for all-stars of this year, not all-stars of every year. When he, you know, next year, bring him back for the classic all-star game.
Everybody out there, let's do this like it's Friday night. Give me a B. Give me an I. Give me a T. Give me another T. Give me an E. Give me an R. What does that spell? Bitter. All right.
Chase Utley's in the game. That's all I care about.
Well, I was thinking about actually closing things on a high note by just taking a moment to remember that there's a service going on in Mount Carmel for one of the great legends of Central Pennsylvania, Jazz Dimnick, who was at one time in his career the all-time winningest coach in high school football, whose Mount Carmel Tornadoes are one of the top five winningest programs, and literally hundreds, and if not thousands, are on their way to Mount Carmel to pay respects to a local sports legend.
And our deepest, sincerest condolences to family, friends, players, part of all the Mount Carmel family. Because while we celebrate a great life, it's still the loss of a great life. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bob and I will talk sports. Kevin will tell you what makes him angry about it.
Now that's a show I'd tune in for.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, boy. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance.